the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, Jesus sort of continues the conversation from last week, talking again about seeds being sown. And in the parable, suddenly weeds appear in the field, and the slaves ask the master how this could happen and how they should respond. The master tells the slaves that the evil one has put weeds into the field, so the slaves ask if they should gather up the weeds and remove them. The master replies, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Something that I am deeply burdened by is the overwhelming humanitarian crisis that is happening on the Texas-Mexico border. Though I'm not a native Texan, after being here 5 years, I do consider Texas my home. Its problems, my problems. Its needs, my needs to respond to as a priest in this state. It only adds to my concern, most likely, that I am a child of an immigrant. My father is from Ireland. And even after all of that, only weeks ago, I reconnected with a parishioner from my parish in Austin, All Saints. His name is John Burnett, and he is the NPR religion correspondent on the national desk, but normally he focuses on issues and people in the Southwest United States, providing investigative reports and traveling the U.S.-Mexico border. He's currently chasing this humanitarian crisis everywhere that it goes. And he is in the middle of it, and he sees these people, and he tells their stories. We'd been talking back and forth via email and Facebook, just catching up after not talking for years. And then he said something. He said that clergy need to speak out on behalf of the needs of the people caught in this crisis. And it was the last piece of conviction that I needed after a couple of sleepless nights due to the fact that I made the mistake of watching the news before I then tried to rest, which I do not recommend. And out of that, this sermon was born. In a piece by Burnett just this month, he tells the story of a woman named Carmen. She cooks for a restaurant and lives in Dallas with her two sons, age 14 and 17. She paid $10,000 to get her sons to the U.S., and when she saw them in March, it was the first time she had seen them in 8 years. Carmen tells John that word got around in the village that she moved from that she runs a restaurant in Texas. So extortionists told her sons to call their mother and tell her that if she didn't send them $1,500, they would execute her children. That was all she needed to know that the risk of trying to get her sons into the U.S. was less than the risk of having her boys continue to live in Central America. And this is only one of the stories that Burnett has captured through intimately knowing these people and their lives. The fact of the matter is, though, I am not a journalist. I'm also not a politician. And I'm not going to talk to you about politics because I'm self-aware enough to know where my credentials end. I am your priest. And for me, this is not a political question. This is a faith question, especially when we sit in this church, and maybe even more so when we leave this church and go out into the world. As someone who is baptized, I believe in the calling of my baptismal covenant, which tells me to respect the dignity of every human being. It is here that I listen to my bishop, Andy Doyle, who calls Texans and Christians to build a more humane immigration system in his article on Trib Talk titled, "Border Crisis is a Test of Texans' Faith." He writes that a humane system is focused on family unity. It keeps families together and builds strong communities that are economically viable and provide health and wellness to all who inhabit them. Maybe even more so, Bishop Doyle calls us as a people of faith and God-fearers living in a civilized society to commit to the difficult work of changing our immigration system because we value family unity, justice, equity, compassion, love, and the humane treatment of all people. These words remind me that there are many truths being told right now. Yes, we need immigration reform, whatever that might look like. Yes, we need to address the source of this humanitarian crisis, whatever that might be. But for Christians, the biggest truth isn't that we need political reform. For Christians, the biggest truth is that these are people created in the image of God. And in today's gospel, I hear a really distinct message to me right now as I struggle with this crisis. When the slaves ask if they should uproot the weeds, the master says no. For in trying to get rid of the problem, they would risk losing the gift. Only verses later, Jesus explains the parable, saying that the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. And what I hear in this parable is that it is better for us to welcome the children of the kingdom of God rather than fear that there may be children of the evil one. For in pushing away all who come to us for fear that something bad may enter, we would sacrifice the beauty that comes when the kingdom of God grows. The master says, no, let the growth continue, even with risk. This is worth it, so that we can gather the wheat into the barn. So let us treasure and cling to love and compassion over fear and scarcity. I think we can all agree that we do not want drug dealers and gang members entering the country. But if we reject all who come to us, we confuse the seeds of the kingdom with the seeds of the evil one. And that is a spiritual tragedy. As Bishop Doyle says in his statement on immigration reform, roadside checkpoints and raids carried out at work sites, transportation systems, places of worship, these leave families torn apart and children parentless, and it negatively affects our businesses, workers, and communities. And most often, it wounds the good rather than punishing those who do wrong. Bishop Rayford High also spoke out about this. He wrote in an article on the Diocese of Fort Worth website, and he appealed for funds for the humanitarian crisis. But more importantly than that to me, he reminds me of something that I have to think about, and that is that we worship a refugee. He writes that in Matthew 2, we're told that the three magi departed after paying homage to the infant Jesus, and an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be you there until I tell you. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. High writes, Joseph arose and woke Mary and they fled Bethlehem that very night. And Herod did indeed slay all the male children of Bethlehem under the age of two, a massacre not unlike those committed by drug cartels in some Central American countries. And it is our turn to give refuge to children who are fleeing violence. Up to this point, I have done a lot of talking about a problem that you probably already knew about. And the question then becomes for me, what can I do? Recently, the Diocese of West Texas released a statement about how we can help two of the churches that are on the border. One of those churches being St. John's in McAllen. I called Father Jim, a priest at St. John's, and he explained to me a little bit how the process works for people who enter our country in that area, as well as ways for us to help. For one, St. John's is in need of money to have available to help people on a case-to-case basis, as well as to purchase supplies for people in need. So next Sunday, we will take two offerings. First time the plate goes through, that will be for St. Paul's. Any tithes you have are offerings to the church. The second time the plate goes by, that money will go to St. John's to benefit the people who need help right now. And if you will just pray about that and see what God would ask you to give. Additionally, St. John's needs people to make hygiene kits to be given to people who are entering the country. You have an additional handout in your bulletin, and on the front it has a list of all of those things that we need. And we will collect those things, and that is one other way that you can help with this, by collecting these items and dropping them off at this church. And then next Sunday, during the brunch, we will get the supplies together and we will pack hygiene kits to be given to the people at St. Paul's. And if you can't make it on Sunday, we'll meet again on Wednesday, July 30th, in the parish hall, and we'll do more packing of the supplies that you have donated. So that gives you two more ways to help. Gather and donate supplies, or come and take these supplies and make kits out of them. However, naming the problem and writing a check and purchasing these supplies, for me personally, has not lifted the burden off of my heart. It has not made sleep easier. So I am going to McAllen. On August 3rd, after the 11 o'clock service, I'll leave St. Paul's and I will take the hygiene packs that we have made and I will deliver them to St. John's. I will spend the next few days volunteering at the Salvation Army, Sacred Heart, and the local food bank to try to do my part to help these people and to serve Christ. If you feel called to go with me, I want to invite you to do that. And I want to invite you to pray about whether or not God is calling you to go to McAllen on August 3rd. See what God is asking you to do. Because the opportunities to serve God's people are endless. Today, there are many options before you. You can bring supplies, you can donate money, you can pack hygiene packs, you can go to McAllen with me. And that is only a list of four ways in a world of a million different types of hurt. So today, what I want to ask you to do is to listen to what the Spirit is saying to you and to pray that God would reveal to you how you are called to serve the Lord, whether it be in one of these four ways or in a way that God has not yet even shown you. Amen.